I am the pastor and priest of the Church of St. Raphael the Archangel in Munster, Indiana. And last December, I was reading the newspaper and saw that Judge Mary Beth Bonaventura resigned from her position because there was a 230% increase in foster children in our system due to the opioid crisis. And the response of the governor and the Republicans in charge was to punt, to do nothing. Mm-hmm. We have the money. We have nearly $2 billion in a rainy day fund. And about the only thing that the state of Indiana is good at doing at this point is saving money. And we have got some crises in foster care. We've got problems in education. Just recently, the U.S. News and World Report downgraded us from being 27th in the nation in education to 35th in the nation. And frankly, the plight of our children in this state kept me up at night. So I flew to New York State. I asked my bishop permission to run. He said, absolutely. And so here we are. We're running for the first district. I have nothing bad to say against my opponent in the race. He has nearly half a century in politics. He's built relationships with people in the community. But my race is about the future. Mm-hmm. It's time for a new direction. It's time for us as Democrats to step forward and to take the fight to the Hoosier people and to win the battle. 1978, there were 28 Democrats and 22 Republicans in the state Senate. Today, there are 41 Republicans and 9 Democrats. And basically what happened was is that Ronald Reagan asked that famous question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And Democrats started playing on the Republican playing field. And what I want to do is I want us to go to the Hoosier people. If I'm elected to this seat, I will be willing to go out from this district, recruit candidates, and get a majority in the Senate by asking one simple question, and that is, are you better off than your parents were 40 years ago? And I think the answer is no.
Let me ask you, since you would be representing an area that basically encompasses portions of Crown Point, but particularly the cities of Hammond and the towns of Munster and Highland and Dyer and Sherrillville and Griffith and the like, what would you say are the things that you have noted or have been talking with your fellow residents about what's changed in District 1 since the last election?
Well, the biggest thing by far that they talk about is education. People are very concerned about the way that we fund education. In fact, it's a confusing situation. What they are really frustrated with is that we've got this huge surplus down in Indianapolis, but yet we still have to pass referendum to pay for our educational systems. Now, education is tied to our housing values. Housing values are tied to our incomes. It's all a string. So what I find is I find that people are really frustrated with the way that we're funding education. So I'm the only candidate who has called for an independent audit of the Department of Education down in Indianapolis. Nobody knows what they're doing. I'm calling for regular order, which is to investigate what would be the best way to fund education. We need to redo it. Our teachers need raises. They can't be the parent. They can't be the social worker. They can't be the cop, for God's sakes. So they're very concerned about that. Now, that issue, education, is really tied to the income levels that are being brought into the homes of the workers of Hammond and Munster, Dyer, Griffith, Highland, St. John, the unincorporated townships of St. John and Sherrillville. And so what I'm advocating is a new look at incentivizing unionization work in our state so that corporations that would take on union labor would receive either a tax reduction in their rate or they would receive a tax credit. Also, I'd like to do introduce what are called equal presentation laws. And what an equal presentation law would be that if you want to unionize a shop to raise the pay of the workers, and the owners of the shop decide that they'd like to take company time to present against the unions, that the union would have equal presentation time to present for the unions. I'd like to get rid of right-to-work laws, because that's right to work on the weekends, right to work a second shift. It's a right to work 2-3 jobs. And what we have is we have people that are stretched to the limit. Those parents who want to do a good job and are trying their best to do a good job have a structural system that is rigged against them. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to see us free those people up to have one job that pays the bills so that then they can spend more time with their kids. They can come to Mass on Sunday mornings if they'd like it, particularly at my church. And then and then they can be able to send their children to school with them fed, them be able to look over the homework like they want to look over the homework. And then the teachers then are being given a student that's ready and prepared. So education is the big thing. When I talk to them about the foster care crisis, that is huge. And we know what to do about that, and we've got the money for it. It simply wasn't done enough. And I think that what the First District needs, it's time for a new direction, because what the First District needs is a senator that will pound the desk a little bit more and go out into the state and recruit other Democrats to take back the Senate so that we can begin to start to implement these policies.
They mentioned here from the labor scene, what improvements you'd like to see made. How do you feel about just in general the economic development here in Northwest Indiana, and what steps should be taken that haven't been taken yet, or maybe you need to go a little further?
Well, the whole philosophy of the way that we govern needs to change. We need to have a government that's of the people, by the people, and for the people. I'd like to have us shift government into a servant type of mentality. So rather than what we've been doing for all these years and trying to get the goose that lays the golden egg in terms of like big companies, I think that we should invest in the companies that are starting here, small businesses, proprietorships, partnerships. Let's give them a tax credit for hiring a part-time worker. They can $5,000 tax credit for a part-time worker if they keep them for 2 years. Or secondly, they could we could also have a $10,000 tax credit for full-time workers that are for full-time jobs that are open. So if the company comes in and they hire a full-time worker with benefits for 2 years, then they would get a $10,000 tax credit.
Okay. We're talking with Father Mark Murkowski, who is running for the Indiana Senate District 1 seat, and here in Northwest Indiana, and joining us in the studio along with Father Murkowski, is a current Senator Frank Mervan of Hammond. Thank you very much for being with us today, sir.
Thank you. Sorry I'm late, but we had a little traffic problem.
That's understandable too, and it's easy to get around these. In fact, we could talk about that, I guess, in a way too, but. First, if you will, give us some thoughts here about how you see the first Senate district changing here over the last few years, and certainly since the last election.
Well, since the last election, we've had quite a bit of change, especially in the first district. We had the great flood, and we had the big flood. And I was instrumental of getting $14 million for it. And then also, while it was delayed for almost a year, I went to the RDA. And after a lot of arguing, I've gotten another $6 million to last over the year so we can get the $14 million. And once this was done, I've been to every meeting here, worked like the devil, stalked the governor, and we got the money. And now when we put the Calumet River Fund to work, and it's being used now, and it's been very successful. We freed up a lot of land where there was flood insurance for people. We also a lot of economic development. Walmart is there, a hotel is there, and I'm rather proud that I had such a major contribution to it. Okay. It was big, and I'm proud of it.
Okay. Father Kurowski has mentioned here about some things that he would like to see done as far as improving economic development from the labor standpoint here. What areas would you like to encourage when it's time to go back to Indianapolis next session?
Well, economic development is necessary to have a good putting people to work, and we have to do it. And the state under Governor Holcomb is going to be very cooperative, not like in the past. I have great expectations, and we've gotten a lot of money for the construction trades. They're doing quite well, and now RDA's job is to get projects that are going to hire people. You know, they've done Marquette Park, and I think that's enough of the recreational. Now we have to get people that they have full-time jobs. And in Hammond, they've gotten the data center, which is supposed to come up with approximately 100, and I helped with that. And Mayor McDermott acknowledged that I gave him a hand on getting that thing here into Hammond. And then we also have a couple other, like a trucking outfit wants to come down in an area that's rather far away from any homes. Okay. It's happening.
That's good. The next question I'd like to propose to both you gentlemen here, and the way that that Father Kurowski had mentioned it first here, mm-hmm. talking about it, is our problem with the opioid epidemic here in Northwest Indiana. Your thoughts about it and how things are being dealt with now and what more you would like to see done.
Well, more has to be done. We've gotten in the budget, we're going to have 9 more added opiate centers, care centers. But the thing is, in Lake County has 1, and there's 28 beds. So we're going to have to work like the devil to get some done here where we need the centers for opiate centers for treatment.
Okay, Father Mark.
And
well, one of the things I'd like to see with the opioid problem is to have us, first of all, push the Republicans to spend some of that money. They are mistaking a Category 5 hurricane for a drizzle. I think we can both agree on that where there is a huge opioid problem, they're just not addressing it fast enough or quickly enough and with enough funds. And so there's two tracks I'd like to see. First of all, I'd like to see us have an opioid set-aside court system so that we can address the opioid problem more as in a remediation. The Indiana State Constitution says that we should be treating our prisoners or those who are in violation of the law with a remediation and not retaliation or retribution. So I'd like to see us hold the Republicans accountable to that. Again, I'd like to go across the state. Let's recruit some candidates. Let's use our energy and our effort and our excitement to go out and to push them on this issue to get these opioid quote-unquote offenders, people that need help, our fellow Hoosiers, and get them into treatment programs. When you stop by and talk to folks that are in the treatment centers, they keep telling you that we are woefully underfunded, and there's also a huge stigma that is being carried with some of these issues. Again, some of the causes of the opioid crisis are the fact that even though the economy is booming, the wage level is not high enough. So we need to do things to increase the wage level of incomes of households. We're 31st in the nation for household income. So again, I go back to the unionization. It all fits together. If we can raise the incomes of the households, then we're going to solve a lot of problems or put ourselves on track to be solving a lot of problems.
Yeah. Senator Ravin?
Express it. Basically, he's saying everything that we're doing, and it's just common sense to do it. Mm-hmm. Opioids are so easily attained. That's one of the problems. We've worked on that. We are cutting back. They know and we know that it's a big problem. And we passed about 3-4 bills this session and the prior session in 2017. And getting a court system isn't what we need. What we need is medical aid, education, and stopping the people that are selling these opiates or making them available, and even the doctors are worried about that they're giving away too much. It's a gigantic problem, and we know about it, and we've been working on it for years. And as you know, nothing is done in a short while, and I'm not making any excuses. No one could do it any further, and getting a court to try people isn't going to help one bit.
We're talking with State Senator Frank Mervan of Hammond, and also his candidate on the same ballot coming up here, Father Mark Kurkowski, who is also from the Munster area, I guess. Both have been on the ballot here on May 9th. You mentioned something in particular about the problems that you run into, and you're certainly being a veteran lawmaker who dealt with this. What do you think that you and anybody that's in the seat can do to try to get the problems of being better recognized? That I'm saying Northwest Indiana being better recognized at the State House in Indianapolis, and it's pretty difficult with the way that the political makeup of the legislature is right now.
Well, I've been there a long time, as you know, and I believe a little better than 36 years, and I was there because the people approved of me and I ran for election, and that's why I'm there. And I'm telling you, I worked as hard as I could. you know, we had a little prejudice. We do have a little prejudice there against the region. And I try to be like an angel. I did everything to make everywhere I go, I try to promote, especially in the Senate. And they're coming along, and I've made a lot of friends, and they respect me. And that's why I should go back, because I've got the experience, I've got the respect, and they know they can trust me. And I've I helped many of the Republicans when they were in trouble with their bills. I had to do that, because when you're in your minority, you're not going to run out on the street and start screaming, I want to collect the guns. You're going to have to talk to the people, and you're going to have to reason with them, and you may even have to beg with them. Screaming and ranting has got nothing to do in the legislature, and there's no room for that.
Brother Mark?
Well, nobody's talking about screaming and ranting. People are talking about taking a definitive stance. I think this is the clearest demarcation between Senator Mervan, whom I have a great respect, who have a great amount of respect for, and myself, is that so far he said that he has great expectations from Governor Holcomb, that that the Republicans know what they're doing, that he said that he works with the Republicans, and that's right. You do have to work with the Republicans, but what I'm seeing is that we have a 41-9 minority, and we need somebody that's going to go out and recruit new candidates to stand up and make the case that for 40 years we've been playing on this Republican playbook and on this Republican field. And here we have Senator Mervan saying that he has great expectations for the Republican governor, Governor Holcomb. And we have the Democrat, Senator Frank Mervan, saying that the Republicans know what they're doing, and they don't know what they're doing, and we need to have a stronger voice that's going to go out there and make the case that there is a democratic way and a democratic vision for the state of Indiana, and that's going to advance Hoosier values and Hoosier people.
Nobody in the state legislature is a bigger Democrat than me.
Well, you just said that.
Well, I know.
You just
what
said
do you want
you
me to say that he's a bum, and then next day go to him and ask him, "I need your help"?
Nobody's saying
I'm
you should call him a bum.
I'm treating him with respect, and
I'm
they treat me with respect. Your job is to make me look bad.
No, my job is not to make you look
you're
bad.
You're trying.
I am not. I'm just stating what you
Mervan
said.
Mervan
has
been
said,
a Democrat all his life.
Yes, you have been. But you seem capitulating to Governor
Holcomb.
No, I'm
not recapitulating. I am just being righteous. Is not going to get you anywhere. You have to talk to them. Nobody stood up more against the Republicans than me, and you could talk to any Republican.
But why would you come on the radio program
because
in Northwest Indiana
to go back to
and
him
say
and ask
that there
for
are
money
great
and,
expectations?
Well, no.
So we could. This is politics. You're going to call your opponents out when they need to be called.
You're
out.
My opponent, and you don't know what you're talking about. I had to have friendships. I had to have a reputation, and I work like hell to get it. And
no,
I'm telling you right now, they respect me. I'm in the minority. I work hard. I'm honest. Experienced.
That would not stop. The honesty and the hard work and a good reputation
and integrity.
And
you're not going to get anywhere by trying to destroy me.
I'm not going to try to destroy you. I'm not trying to destroy you. I have
great respect
for you.
The people reelected me, I don't know how many times, for 30 years. I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to keep on doing it. Hard work, honesty, experience, that's what I'm bringing to the table, and knowledge. And there are people, I know where to go and what resources we have, and I don't have to say I'm against everything. I'm the strongest Democrat that's probably in the Senate.
Nobody has said that you are.
You
not.
You just said it.
No, I just said you are supposed to be holding and representing the Democratic Party, not just in the first district, but to assist other candidates throughout the state in standing up against Governor Holcomb. And you just said
that you have great expectations,
that the Republicans know what the problems are, and apparently they don't know what the problems are, because if they knew what the problems are, then we would have a solution for it. There is a Democratic vision, and I think that right. Right now,
solving the drug problem.
I can be the one who can articulate
that
vision. Democratic vision.
When a man comes up to me and the governor comes up and he starts doing things dealing with the opiates for the last 2 years, I have to encourage him and say, good, you're doing a job. And if you think you're going to go down there hating everybody,
no,
I'm a strong Democrat.
No. Nobody's saying anything
about hating
anybody.
I passed so many laws that were for voting laws, etc. They were all pro-Democrat. And I'm not the loudest voice, but I'm the most dramatic voice, maybe that would be the word, or dedicated.
Well, gentlemen, we'll have to get you back on again here. We'll have to leave it at that.
Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
You're entirely welcome.